Pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, May 27th, 2022. I'm Kev Larame and I'll be joined by Dwayne Rollins in a second as we invite you to subscribe and hit that subscribe button to join our march to 1,000 subscribers here on YouTube and click on that notification bell to be made aware of all our brand new upload on our YouTube channel live on Twitter every single day at Soccer Today SBN. And you can follow myself at Kev Larame and Dwayne at 24th Minute. Dwayne, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. We got a new logo, a new logo for the Impact. I'll call them the Impact because I'm allowed to now.
I'm wearing an Impact sweater. If people don't know, I haven't worn an Impact sweater in a long time, and I thought it was fitting talking about the new logo, wearing this today, one of my favorite sweaters ever, Adidas Originals. Always a fun time. Of course, I'm looking at this logo and the other logo. I love both logos on my sweater today. Welcome to Soccer Today. We can preview, Dwayne. We'll preview the Canadian Premier League's weekend that actually extends to like Wednesday. And we're also going to preview MLS's week number 14 already. We're getting close to mid-season in Major League Soccer. We'll preview some of the great games that will influence the standings, a busy Saturday evening in MLS. But Dwayne, let's start with the big news of the day. A new logo, a new identity, kind of, for CF Montreal. Here is the new logo of CF Montreal. And I have to say, quite the presentation. Thank you to CF Montreal for sending us all those graphics. And it is, of course, with their credits, it's their graphics. They sent us to the media to be able to be used, as you see the video on your video feed. It is quite reminiscent of the first MLS logo of CF Montreal. It is the same design firm that made the 2012, the 2001 logo also. And there's some elements that are back, as you see the shield, as you see a circle also being kept into this aspect, the shield in the middle, CF Montreal written in French, Dwayne, with the accent aigu, CF Montréal, 1993. We see the element also of the stripes, the black and blue stripes are in the element. Maybe they'll come back in the jersey next year. We'll have a brand new original jersey for CF Montreal fans to look at next year. Before we start looking at this logo and dissect it, Dwayne, I want to explain a few of the elements for our listeners. Let's have a look here at a few of the elements. Le cercle, the circle around it, it signifies the city. It signifies a lot of things, but I think it's an interesting aspect of this presentation. The other elements of the logo that I think are really interesting is when we look about the shield, le bouclier. The shield is a symbol of force, of defending. It represents our determination and our resilience. That is what is represented by the shield. La fleur de lis, of course, this is the symbol of Quebec. It's a symbol of French-speaking nations over the years, but Quebec has adopted as their own. The white fleur de lis is a symbol of the province of Quebec. Where is Montreal located? And that is very important. It's back. It was not included in the last branding. It is in this one. 1993, the year of the arrival in the soccer professional world for a Montreal team, Montreal Impact in 1993. That is why it is represented. And yes, it took some convincing to Major League Soccer by Joey Sapucho to include a date that predates the creation of the league itself. And they had to convince Don Garber and the league, and eventually they won that negotiation. The official name of the club, and that's what I find interesting, le nom officiel, which means maybe there is a non-official name of this team. Maybe the non-official name is the Impact. All right, the official name, CF Montreal. The accent on the name, the blue, it's a different blue. It's called Le Bleu Impact, the same blue that existed in 1993. And of course, the stripes, those are your explanations and the design ideology and ideas that went into this new design. It is a beautiful day in Montreal, Dwayne. I have to say, regardless of the rain, nobody's raining on this parade.
No, it's fine. It's an okay logo for sure. It's much better than the previous one, the previous new one, which I think that if you go back in our archives, it's kind of a funny show. If you go back in our archives and listen to our initial reaction, I don't even think I was trying to be diplomatic that day. I called it a cat's ass off the hop.
Now, and that's what people, that's a bit what people have called it over the year, too.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. It's like if you're a fan of the show, TV show community, the flag that the Dean creates, which looks like an anus, and it's that. But anyway, we move past that. I think that I said to you off air when you first showed me the logo, I had maybe a 5-minute sneak peek at it while Kevin was preparing. I said that this one doesn't need an infograph. I know Kevin just showed you an infograph, but it doesn't really need an infograph. You can look at this logo and you can instinctively understand that it's a Montreal team and that it, what it's speaking to. I think that the 1993 was a real important nod. A lot of the complaints that people have been that they were ignoring their history, ignoring their past, that they had to fight with Don Garber to get that on there. It makes me want to shake Don Garber that they do this.
Well, just because they had to explain to him that, look, we existed before this league, okay? So we got to make sure it's on there somewhere.
Well, I mean, the Whitecaps had the, you know, established 1974 thing on their back forever. It's not there anymore, I don't think. But, you know, we have issues with the accuracy of that. I mean, they were there in 1974, but, you know, the Blizzard were in Toronto, too. Yeah,
they left and they came back. Exactly. There's a gap in there somewhere.
Yeah. I have no problem with the Impact, the City of Montreal claiming that they're around since 1993 because you can draw a direct line to it. And that's the truth, whereas you can't with the Whitecaps. But nonetheless, not to get into that. I think this is a good effort. Now, look, I'm not a Montreal fan, so I'm not going to have the same emotional attachment to it. Like, if you're a longtime Montreal fan, you see that, you're going to be, that's gorgeous. That reminds me of my past. That's beautiful. Yeah. I'd love to have it back. If you're just a neutral looking at that, you're going to go, yeah, it's okay. And that's fine, because it's not about me or about anyone else that's not from Montreal. It's about the fans there. And that's kind of what they lost sight of with the newer one, the snowflake one.
Never mind the international. Mm-hmm. Never mind trying to make it at the biggest level. It's back to catering to our own team. And that's what's really important for this. The words that have been heard and used in this press conference a lot by Gabriel Gervais is community, reconnecting with the community. There is conversation already with supporters group to have him come back. They want to have him come back in all the same stands. There's things going on for things to be back to before. There'll never be a true before 2021. It won't be the same ever again in multiple facets of life and in this too. But if there's ways to reconnect the broken bridges and maybe find ways to establish bandwidth of communication and a fandom and slowly be able to build upon, and that's what this is. This is more than an olive branch. This is something to build upon. Yes, the name is there. But when you look at it, when you feel what's surrounding the team, the people in place, who's director of the academy? Patrick Leduc. Someone who played, bleed, and sweat in this bleu, blanc, noir jersey. The bleu, blanc, noir is back. It is about those three colors. There's a lot of things that are back to being familiar. And that's what I felt today. I looked at this logo, Dwayne, I'm like, yeah, it looks different. It's a round logo. It's not... And it looks different than the other logos in the league, too. So that's kind of thing. It's not just the classic round logo with the outside writing. You know, there's a bit of a difference design choices. But to me, it's something new. But when you get married, you also need something old and something blue. And that's what I think this is. This is the old, the new, and the blue. For that all together, we can be Montreal.
Yeah, I don't know what's the world, I wonder. I put an important thing up. I put a poll up on my Twitter just before we came on air, just to sort of gauge what people's thinking of this for. You know, the options were love, like, indifferent, and hate. Just a quick little summary of that. I mean, I'll retweet this after if you want to add your 2 cents to it listening. Love is at 19.8, so 20% right now. Like is at 33%. Me is at 38%. And hate is only at 9%, basically. So, by and large, most people are relatively positive to this or indifferent. Very few people hate it. had I done the same thing with the Snowflake logo, I think you would have almost seen a reversal of those numbers. It was not very loved at all. So,
No. The logo, because it was also mixed with the name change and the Club de Foot, that's gone away right now. People didn't get the Club de Foot, and I can understand. Now it's more about CF Montreal, which is Club de Football, which is FC, which is what we're used to also. And it's like the French version of FC. It makes sense, and people can build on that. And I think now going forward, there's a few nicknames that I've already caught on. Yes, there's some that I like to use also in my day-to-day work. Les Montréalais, the Montrealers, I like that. That kind of tells it what it is. Makes a big difference, and it's a inclusive term if you are from here. You're like, yeah, that's me. I'm a Montrealer. I can get behind it. Les Québécois could be something that we get behind too. L'Impact, of course. But the nicknames and the ideology surrounding those nicknames will come back, and there will be a philosophy of fandom that will differ from the different supporters group. But it's time for people to come back home. It's time for people to get behind this club. There was a mea culpa. There's never 100% guilt or ownership of that guilt, but they basically retracted on all what they have done and everything that truly made the fans feel alienated by the name change and the rebrand. Most of them were addressed today.
Look, I think there is little doubt that they handled the rebrand really poorly, and that spoke in general to how they handled a lot of things under the leadership of Kevin Gilmore, who I do not know personally and do not wish to bash on a personal level, but I can only gauge by what happened under him that there was a lot of disconnect that happened there. Yes. And that spoke to that as well. So and, this is
if I can add to your point, Dwayne, in his career, Kevin Gilmore, and I'm talking about his professional career and the different sport entities he worked in the past, from the Anaheim Ducks to the LA Galaxy, there's similar things that are happening, and we're seeing similar results along the way. And I think there's also maybe things were corrected, and 2 years later, not even things are changed, and it's already for the better. But obviously, you're right. There is some things that, on the professional level, were not followed suit, and the actions versus what was said is two different things. But like you mentioned, a lot of things were corrected today from the Kevin Gilmore era.
Yeah, look, this ultimately speaks to the difference between consumers and fans and supporters. And I think that in a lot of the sports that Mr. Gilmore and other executives within MLS that push these kind of changes are used to, it's more about finding consumers, finding customers. And they're not used to having to speak and having to justify their decisions when it comes to branding and things like this. So that causes conflict. And you know, we've talked about this before when we've talked about branding changes in MLS. There's clearly been some kind of mandate, some kind of study that MLS has shown out there where they have gone towards these European-style names, these European-style branding. That's clearly something is out there that all of them are doing because they're so in lock with what they're doing this. And the new teams coming in, like St. Louis City FC or SC, pardon me. Like, it's a ridiculously dull name. They capitalized the city for some mysterious reason, but nonetheless, it's kind of a dull name, and it speaks to this whole trend that they're doing too. So that's obviously coming from MLS, and I think that that's where the resistance towards going back to the North American convention of city name, nickname. They don't want that at MLS headquarters. Some marketing, somebody at, you know, some C-level out there has got it in their mind that's what needs to happen, and that's what's happening. So, you know, this is sort of what you do when you're in a single entry league, and you can make your own comment about that. It's a logo ultimately. Mm-hmm. What matters is how they represent the community. I am not one to speak to some of the other issues that some of the ultras and some of the other supporters that are close to that kind of thinking have walked away from. It is up to each individual fan to do that. There's no right or wrong. If you don't feel represented by the club anymore, then you don't need to give them your money. That's your choice. Maybe don't, you know, graffiti the sign, but when I say maybe, don't do that.
Maybe just don't do it, but yes, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but you know, no one is forcing you to go. There's PLSQ teams there. Hopefully there'll be a KMPL yeah. team to for you to support. There's you go to Ottawa for a KMPL team now if you want. Like, there's choices for you.
Vermont yeah. Green FC. Vermont Green FC has a lot of fans in Quebec, and it's a team just across the border that a lot of fans are going to a match tomorrow. So if you're going to see Vermont FC tomorrow, enjoy your trip, your day trip, your away trip. It's been a long time. And if you are maybe enticed to come back to watch CF Montreal game, we'll see you at Stade Saputo tomorrow, because tomorrow it all starts again for Major League Soccer. Week number 14 starts tomorrow, and we'll preview every single game, also in the Canadian Premier League, after this short break, right here on Soccer Today.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. It is time to look at the schedule for Week 14 in Major League Soccer, a full slate of game in this top league in North America. It all starts tomorrow at 6 p.m. with Los Angeles FC, LAFC at home versus San Jose. Can LAFC continue to put points on the board and being top of the Western Conference? We'll see. Toronto, Chicago, a battle of the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Which team is worse, Dwayne? Toronto or Chicago? Like, which team is really bad between the two?
Well, I mean, I would say that maybe Chicago right now might be slightly ahead of the project, but that Toronto has a lot more money to spend in the summer. Although, you know, speaking of which, Sebastian Giovinco was spotted in Toronto again yesterday buying a Porsche. So who knows? But anyway. That's just what you do on a,
Thursday afternoon and somewhere in Toronto.
In Oakville,
right? Yeah. I was going to say, is he in Oakville, the one next to the highway? Yeah, that's the one. All right, Atlanta, Columbus at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Interesting to see if Columbus can turn things around. Columbus is struggling. Dare we say Caleb Porter's job might be in jeopardy? Is he even on a hot seat? Is it getting hot? That's the question.
Porter fan. And this goes back to my early days podcasting. I've always thought that he was one of the most overrated U.S. managers out there. It's hard to argue with the fact that every couple years he seems to somehow win a title, but I don't know whether that's his skill or whether that's just the resources he has behind him. Look, Columbus is obviously, I think, in a need of a refresh. I might put them, and when the Zardes trade might be the start of that refresh, honestly. So yeah, it's something to watch out for moving forward. And Bezpachenko, he was the magic man a few years ago.
Or was he, right? That's the question. Well, or was he just the broken clock that is right twice a day?
Well, no, I think Bezpachenko did a lot of good things in terms of turning that around. Like we don't have time to break move by move down there. But obviously, you know, TFC's great success in 2017 was driven by having one of the greatest MLS players of all time leading that offense. And then you have, you know, Josie Altidore healthy, and you've got, some bit players that Bezpachenko can do a good job with. But yeah, the point I'm making, though, is that maybe what worked in 2017, 2018 doesn't work anymore, and you have to evolve constantly with the Major League Soccer, and maybe something you're seeing there. That said, you know, give him some time. I'm not ready to boot him out, and I don't think Columbus should be at either, but nonetheless, it's something to watch.
Yeah, but Caleb Porter might not survive as long as Tim Bezpachenko. We'll see before the end of the season if he is truly in trouble. New York, DC United, that's an interesting matchup that also takes place tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. To me, New York has to continue to follow the top of the Eastern Conference. NYCFC slowly but surely will grab that top of the East. And can the Red Bulls keep pace? Can Philadelphia keep pace? Can Montreal and Orlando keep pace? That's your top five in my mind in the Eastern Conference. Speaking of, Montreal's facing Cincinnati tomorrow evening. One of those teams with a win will continue to keep pace. One of those teams with a loss will go down and be closer to the red line. Very big matchup in the Eastern Conference. Those two teams, in my opinion, will follow each other all season long on the standings that we will look at in a second. And to me, Dwayne, Montreal and Cincinnati, this is an important game for Montreal. Montreal got a good result last time they played against each other at TQL Stadium in Cincinnati. And now at that Saputo, CF Montreal has to surf the positivity wave of the new logo and get 3 points tomorrow and stop that two-game slide in the league. That's a big game in the Eastern Conference for Montreal and Cincinnati.
Yeah, a two-game losing streak is a blip. A three-game losing streak is a slide. I would say if you get into the semantics of that, So yeah, I think it's vital for Montreal to step up and get the result at home that they need to prove that they belong near the top of that conversation rather than near the red line of the conversation that we're having this year. So yeah, you don't want to lose three in a row, even this early. It all matters. Building off of the win midweek, the easy win against Forge, they managed to rotate that team pretty heavily and get an easy win there, so they shouldn't be tired. There's no excuse. That said, I think that we've both been guilty a little bit of not being quick to the saying Cincinnati's okay train, because, well, you know, they've given us 3 years of evidence to say they won't be, but I think maybe they've given us enough this year that we can say that they're at least mediocre. So,
they're more than that. They're going to be a playoff team in my mind if Luciano Acosta can continue to have an MVP type of season. Let's look at Luciano Acosta's numbers this year. He has five assists, one of the best in the league. He also have 8 key passes. He's top of the league for what? 45 total? 43 total? He's one of the best in the league every single game, but he's dominating the key passes this season. And it is one of the best players so far. He is a candidate in the MVP. It's low-key. It's very early. And he doesn't score goals, so it's hard sometimes to see him as an MVP. But to me, when I find a player like Luciano Acosta who's finding his foot and is starting to make players around him better, just like in DC United in 2018. You think it was Rooney who was making Acosta better? Try the other way around. And finally, that confidence is back for Luciano Acosta.
No, he's a lifer, right? He's one of those MLS guys that's a real glue player on a lot of teams, and he can make any team better. And one of the key components to Cincinnati's turnaround has been the ability to identify a guy like him and use him in a way and surround him by players to complement his talents to allow them to have a plan for the first time in their history since USL anyway. Well, their plan in the USL was just to outspend everyone and, you know, basically get an MLS team eventually, which worked, but you can't do that in MLS. They have the plan now. They have people in place that seem to be, they'd be committed to, and it can build around a guy like that to try and get that team up to the level where maybe, you know, in a couple more years, with the investment that they do have committed to that team. I mean, so we don't think of Cincinnati as a big market, but within an MLS context, they are one of those little big markets, if you follow, where they have the spending power beyond their typical means in other sports. And you might see them, if they could keep this going for another year or so, be able to go out and bring in that difference maker to get over and become a title contender. And that's, you know, after the first 3 years, if they get there, that's weird. But, you know, what market, we've compared Cincinnati all along to the market I'm in. If they could follow that same path, I'm sure Cincinnati fans would be okay, because those middle years, they worked out pretty well here in Toronto. So there you go.
Exactly. Let's now look at the rest of the schedule for week number 14 in MLS. New England, Philadelphia. Is New England back? They did win against Cincinnati 3-2 last week. Can they now beat Philadelphia? And if they beat Cincy and then Philly back-to-back games, that's a big comeback for New England. They're playing against Philly at 7:30 at home. We'll see if they can do great. Jozy Altidore has yet to perform well with New England. That is not that surprising, but we'll see if that changes. Orlando-Dallas is also an important matchup because Orlando is battling with Montreal for the top of the Eastern Conference. Dallas is a very good team in the Western Conference. Both can benefit from getting points that are coming from outside of their conference. That will be a fun matchup to look at. Dwayne, we talk about the standings. Let's take a look at the standings in both the East and the West and what's at stake this weekend. Philadelphia can keep the top of the standings with a good performance, like we mentioned, against New England, but it won't be that easy. New York City truly back from their Champions League hangover, and they're now second in the Eastern Conference. They're facing Minnesota. Minnesota's not having the best of season. They're not that bad. They're 18 points so far this year. But NYCFC will probably find themselves favor on the road to get a good result. And with a win, they could take over the top spot in the Eastern Conference. The defending champions are finally back in form.
They have the best, since they were eliminated from the CCL, they have the best record of Major League Soccer with 16 points. That speaks to the talent and to the experience now of that team. To me, the clear Eastern Conference favorite. And you know, in some ways, if you're the clear Eastern Conference favorite, then I think you have to call yourself the clear MLS Cup favorite, because the Eastern Conference, I think, is a bit weaker, and it'll be a bit easier of a pathway to get to that final one-off game. Now, once you get there, it's a crap shot, but you know what I mean? Like, the odds sort of suggest that maybe they would be more likely than a Western team. Yeah, it's a good team, and I expect them to continue to roll. You know, they're not going to go perfect because this is Major League Soccer, and that doesn't happen, but this is a team that, that really has all the pieces in place and has the scouting network to continue to find value everywhere. Who knew in 2013 that the way NYCFC would become the dominant force, one of the dominant forces in Major League Soccer, was by smart moneyball type signing.
And stop signing big names and retired players and go somewhere else.
Yeah, but that's what they've done. And, it, you know, in hindsight, we should, like, I feel bad, Dwayne, bad, Dwayne, bad, Dwayne. I feel shame that I didn't figure this out, that their real advantage wouldn't be the big DPs. It would be that scouting network that City Football Group has. And we're seeing that reap the rewards. I suspect they're going to win a few more MLS Cup championships in the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's so far. Well, there's no way to argue against that. Let's continue and look at the last matchups in MLS for this weekend before we continue to look at the other league in North American soccer. Colorado-Nashville. To me, it's an important game. Can Colorado not turn things around, but can Colorado be Colorado of last year and be a force in the Western Conference? It's going to be difficult. There's better teams than last year. So far, they're 8th just outside of the playoffs by because of the differential. So maybe Colorado can work themselves back into a playoff spot with a good win at home. Nashville, after a few games at home, will now be on the road. We'll see how they can do on the road in Colorado. It's not a big travel, but there is the altitude difference. We'll see how that evolves. Fascinating matchup, Kansas City, Vancouver, bottom of the West versus the number 13 teams in the West. Is Vancouver better than Kansas City? Is Kansas City better than Vancouver? We will find that out Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. The Battle of the Wooden Spoon Contenders, Dwayne.
That's a hell of a TSN doubleheader they got going on there on Saturday night. Toronto, Chicago, followed by Vancouver, Kansas City.
That's two bad games back to back.
Well, I mean, it could be two competitive games if you want to be half full about it, and I'm sure that that's how they'll market it. Look, the difference between Vancouver and other teams that are poor, and I feel like I'm beating, I feel like a bully when I talk about them, is that they don't have a plan and they don't have any. There's no, like, you need a periscope to even see, like, the start of a plan in Vancouver. It's just not there. And until you can get moving in a direction and have some kind of hope that they can get out of this, like, how, I don't know how a Vancouver fan would. Well, I do. I lived it. But, you know, and the way that Toronto got out of it was with a big spend. I can't see them doing that. So, hey, I don't know what to say, guys. It's tough. You got the Canadian championship to look forward. That's what
exactly.
I have to say.
Exactly. It's all about the Canadian championship. The last games in MLS, Saturday night, Salt Lake versus Houston. Sunday, LA Galaxy versus Austin and Seattle versus Charlotte. That's an interesting matchup. Seattle will now focus on the league, having been, of course, they've won the CCL, so they can focus on the league again. And slowly but surely, Dwayne, we'll start to see Seattle climb in the Western Conference standings. And by the end of August, I think they're going to be third and fourth. And looking ahead, also, Seattle is one of the best teams in the league. Let's not let their standings position convince us otherwise, because Seattle, when it comes time to playoff, they will be a playoff team.
You'd think. I mean, look, we always say show me, don't tell me, and usually that's a negative connotation. I think in Seattle's case, it's a positive connotation. Show me, don't tell me that you're bad, right? Like, we need to see it before we're going to believe it. You know, I think in my lifetime, I might see Seattle miss the playoffs once. Maybe. I'm not sure, though. It seems like maybe not.
Depends how long your lifetime will be. I think that's also important to keep in mind. But on that note, that's the weekend in Major League Soccer. The game are interesting, and it's weekend number 14 already. Week 14 in MLS. Let's go now to week number 8 in the Canadian Premier League. Yes, it continues. Canadian Premier League will be one of our focus this weekend and, of course, next week. One game on Saturday, one game on Sunday, one on Tuesday, and one on Wednesday. Pacific Valor tomorrow night at 7 p.m. York United traveling to Cavalry, to Calgary, to face Cavalry once again. They just played each other in the Canadian... No, Cavalry played Vancouver. York played Pacific, and York beat Pacific, so maybe they can make it two West Coast trips in a row that they get a good result, this time against Cavalry. FC Edmonton Forge, that one's on Tuesday, and Valor Atletico Ottawa on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. in Winnipeg. What game is really interesting in your point of view, Dwayne?
I'm going to say the Pacific Valor game to see if Pacific can bounce back from their upset in the Canadian Championship. They have been the dominant team this year. Just going to start the weekend off. You know, I'm also intrigued in a sort of train wreck kind of way to watch the Forge Edmonton game. On Tuesday, we'll have a chance to watch that isolated. Look, you mentioned like common matchups. There's eight teams in the league. There's going to be a lot of common matchups in the league because there's only so many times you can exactly. do it. But yeah.
That's true. That is very true. Speaking of, will FC Edmonton get their first win of the season this weekend?
No. I'm just saying no until they do.
Until they do, yeah, exactly. That's what you do. You bet. You don't bet against a trend. You just continue until it dies.
Yeah, look. Before we move completely past this, anyone listening to this wondering why we're not talking about the Champions League final is because we're not primarily a European show. But quickly, Kevin, I think Real Madrid's going to beat Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, Real Madrid-Liverpool. That's an interesting aspect. It is, of course, this Sunday. Sunday is
Saturday? Saturday. It's tomorrow.
That's how much I've paid attention to the Champions League. I got to say, it ain't what it used to be.
Well, I mean, it's... If you don't have a team in the race, it's...
For me. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's because it's not on regular TV, because I have to go to the zone. It just... I don't feel... Maybe it's because I don't have a horse in the race, but there's... Maybe I'm just too deep in North American soccer that I'm more excited about North American soccer than I am about the Champions League.
That's that's the point I was kind of making, is that we have to focus on... We have our Tuesday shows. We will talk about the Champions League final on Tuesday. We will probably talk about Roma winning the Conference League on Tuesday as well. Jose Mourinho, obviously, he was going to win the first outside of it. But no, I wanted to get a mention there just in case anyone was wondering why we didn't. But I will watch the game, but I'm not that... You know, I would have been far more into it if had City obviously advanced, but that's not the case. I'm more interested in the transfers now. I'm watching Haaland get his medical in a blue shirt. That was more exciting to me this week.
Did you like to learn his menu also? He's eating very much inspired by Cristiano Ronaldo, which is maybe a good thing, but hopefully the rest of his life is not influenced too much by Cristiano Ronaldo.
Hope otherwise. Anyway, it's Europe's on Tuesday. Lots of fun domestic stuff this weekend. We're going to slow down a little bit. We'll have time, I think, in the weeks ahead, Kevin and I, to dive into some topics that we've kind of had to slide over because we've been too deep into the day in, day out kind of coverage of results. So I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to getting our Canadian championship or our Canadian national team show going soon enough to you're looking for coverage of the Iran cancellation. We talked about that yesterday as well, just as a quick aside.
Exactly. And Dwayne talking about a Canadian focus show. It'll be the Two Salty Soccer Podcast that will be available for patrons only at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. In the next few weeks, we're going to iron out our schedule and have it available once a week or so on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. If you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so everywhere. I don't know why I said it like that, but everywhere your favorite podcasts are to be found, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, and of course, Spreaker, which is a place I would suggest you can subscribe to our show and always get the brand newest episode delivered to your podcast inbox every single day. And if you're looking for advertising opportunities, it is also possible to advertise on Soccer Today. Contact me at sportspodcastnetwork@gmail.com and we can have a great conversation on how we can come to an agreement. As always, until next time, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kev Larme. You can follow this show at Soccer Today. Podcast available everywhere. And until Monday, as always, we wish you a great soccer.